Chapter 20. The Minister in a Maze. As the minister departed, in advance of Hester Prynne and Little Pearl, he threw a backward glance, half expecting that he should discover only some faintly traced features or outline of the mother and the child, slowly fading into the twilight of the woods. So great a vicissitude in his life could not at once be received as real. But there was Hester, clad in her gray robe, still standing beside the tree trunk, which some blast had overthrown a long antiquity ago, and which time had ever since been covering with moss, so that these two fated ones, with earth's heaviest burden on them, might there sit down together and find a single hour's rest and solace. And there was Pearl, too, lightly dancing from the margin of the brook, now that the intrusive third person was gone, and taking her old place by her mother's side. So the minister had not fallen asleep and dreamed. In order to free his mind from this indistinctness and duplicity of impression, which vexed it with a strange disquietude, he recalled and more thoroughly defined the plans which Hester and himself had sketched for their departure. It had been determined between them that the old world, with its crowds and cities, offered them a more eligible shelter and concealment than the wilds of New England or all America, with its alternatives of an Indian wigwam or the few settlements of Europeans scattered thinly along the seaboard. Not to speak of the clergyman's health, so inadequate to sustain the hardships of a forest life, his native gifts, his culture, and his entire development would secure him a home only in the midst of civilization and refinement. The higher the state, the more delicately adapted to it the man. In furtherance of this choice, it so happened that a ship lay in the harbor. One of those questionable cruisers frequented that day, which, without being absolutely outlaws of the deep, yet roamed over its surface with a remarkable irresponsibility of character. This vessel had recently arrived from the Spanish Main, and within 3 days' time would sail for Bristol. Hester Prynne, whose vocation as a self-enlisted sister of charity had brought her acquainted with the captain and crew, could take upon herself to secure the passage of two individuals and a child, with all the secrecy which circumstances rendered more than desirable. The minister had inquired of Hester, with no little interest, the precise time at which the vessel might be expected to depart. It would probably be on the fourth day from the present. "That is most fortunate," he had then said to himself. Now why the Reverend Mr. Dimmesdale considered it so very fortunate, we hesitate to reveal. Nevertheless, to hold nothing back from the reader, it was because on the third day from the present he was to preach the election sermon, and as such an occasion formed an honorable epoch in the life of a New England clergyman, he could not have chanced upon a more suitable mode and time of terminating his professional career. "At least they shall say of me," thought this exemplary man, "that I leave no public duty unperformed, nor ill-performed." Sad indeed that an introspection so profound and acute as this poor minister's should be so miserably deceived. We have had, and may still have, worse things to tell of him, but none we apprehend so pitiably weak. No evidence at once so slight and irrefragable of a subtle disease that had long since begun to eat into the real substance of his character. No man, for any considerable period, can wear one face to himself and another to the multitude, without finally getting bewildered as to which may be the true.